Welcome to the Well Community Church podcast. For more information on us and our mission to help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood, check us out at thewellcommunity.org or on our app, The Well Presence.
All right. Well, hey, let's get started here this morning. Welcome to the men's breakfast. If you maybe are new with us here, so thankful that you chose to hang out with us here this morning. This men's breakfast is a multi-church venue or a multi-church event. We do this all the time. Every month when we meet together, we allow guys to talk about which church they're coming from, simply because even though the Well has home court advantage, this is about men walking with Jesus in our city. I know that the only way to influence a community is the gospel. And I know that the primary vehicle for the gospel in terms of influence is going to be the men. And so we just said, well, then let's open up a venue. Let's get dudes together. Let's bring some bacon in. We'll talk about Jesus and challenge us a little bit. So churches, which churches are represented here today? Who we got?
Breakthrough.
Welcome. Welcome.
New Cub.
New Cub over here.
First Presbyterian Church.
First Press.
Trinity.
River Valley, right on.
Cross City,
welcome.
Via.
Who else? All right, good. Well, so thankful that you guys have chosen to join us. One announcement that has nothing to do with the men's breakfast, but I'm pretty excited to announce, is we have a new head football coach at Fresno State University. His name's Jeff Tedford, so we're pretty excited about that. I mean, seems like all the guy did was win, so I mean, that's fine. I'm good with that. I'm okay with winning. So anyway, yeah, Tedford, they're making the announcement from what I was told here this morning. They're making the announcement a little later today, so praise God, we got a good football coach coming back, and so hopefully we can keep the tradition moving as well. So with that being said, we're going to change the format up of our men's breakfast a little bit. Usually we either bring somebody in from the community to share, we pick a fight with some cultural issue and try to explain what the Bible says about it, etc. What I want to do this morning is something a little different, and I'm going to interview somebody. And so before we interview him, though, I just want to kind of read some of this guy's accolades before we bring him on stage. So after graduating from Bullard High School in 79, he attended Fresno State University from 79 to 83, majoring in business with an emphasis on marketing. While at Fresno State, he was the starting punter for the Bulldogs and coach Jim Sweeney. He was a member of the 1982 PC2A championship team, as well as the 82 California Bowl championship Bulldog football team as well. 1983, he signed with the Denver Gold of the USFL, and then in 84 by the San Francisco 49ers. Settled in the Bay Area, Mountain View specifically, he went on to work in commercial real estate at a commercial real estate firm. Spent the next 10 years there selling commercial real estate, working in that industry, leasing commercial real estate there in the Mountain View, Palo Alto, and Menlo Park markets. In 95, he acquired a property inspection service, the largest residential inspection firm in Northern California. During his tenure as owner, the company provided over 35,000 residential property inspections. In 2000, the Santa Clara County Association of Realtors named him the Affiliate of the Year for his extensive service to the community. This guy was recently involved in helping launching now a new senior housing development here in Fresno, in Northwest Fresno, on the corner of Spruce and Hayes. He also put together the deal to sell the River Park Golf Center to the hospital, and was the driving force behind our church being able to relocate from this property down to historic Wawona Ranch in partnership with the Smith Camp family. He's a proud husband of his bride, Cindy. He's blessed with four kids, Mitch, Jack, Brett, and Katie, and now numerous beautiful grandbabies. He is a deal maker. He is an eternal optimist. He has tremendous passion. He is a follower of Jesus through and through. And he actually instigated this event. Would you welcome to the stage Mr. Rusty Carricker? some of you might be new with us and you have no idea why we would give a standing ovation for a punter. And I totally understand where you're coming from. I get that. But for those of you who know Rusty, you know that he is fighting the fight of his life. And so he's battling throat cancer. And so he's the only guy, by the way, we've ever brought to the men's breakfast who brought a security detail, which I respect. But he brought his sons up here to not only be with him as he shares, because this men's breakfast was Rusty's idea. He was the one who instigated it. And in many ways, some 6 years ago, this whole concept came from him. But these guys are here not just to support him, but as he's battling throat cancer, sometimes it's hard for him to articulate, literally verbally articulate what he wants to say. And so he's written a couple things down. We've been going back and forth. If you know Rusty, he's not afraid. Flip that thing on there. There you go.
I know what I want.
Yeah.
No, I need it now.
Yeah, and I've joked with Rusty, for those of you who didn't grow up in church and you've seen a guy who's about a case of beer to the wind, you probably can understand him. Because it kind of sounds like he's a little intoxicated, doesn't it? But, and I mean that respectfully. We've got such a great friendship. This guy's a dear friend. And I wanted you to hear from him. And so we've asked a number of questions. We're going to let him just kind of tee off, share what he wants, share what he can. And if not, we'll tap the boys and go from there. Sound good?
Sound good.
All right.
I'm on.
So let's talk a little bit about the elephant in the room. Not the fact that you were a punter, though I am very confused by that. The cancer.
And that intro, by the way, that sounds like not my role.
It is. I stole it from his website. So all of those things he actually said of himself. So there you go.
Half of it is true.
Half of it's true? Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about the cancer.
Yeah.
And then I want to get into some other things. I don't want to talk about that the whole time.
All right.
So original diagnosis was back when?
2014.
2014. But you worked through that in 2014.
I was never morning.
Okay. And then you had a resurgence of it, correct? Okay. And how long have you been battling it now this time?
Oh, man. Feels like forever. 2 years.
2 years. Okay. And so we're going to circle back to that in a little bit, but I want to talk about this. Tell us a little bit about your family growing up. Your dad, of course, the historic, you know, Buf character, pastoring in Northwest Church forever, his family heavily involved in what God was doing in our city. Tell us a little bit about that.
Unbelievable. I mean, when I tell you, unbelievable, we were so blessed. Really.
I got my cue. Read it. I'm Jack, Rusty's second son. Some of his notes here we'll all read, but he said, my mom was hilarious and one of the hardest working people I've ever known, as well as an amazing cook. There were six of us kids, crazy, talented, loud, fun, and musical. Birthdays were awesome because you've never heard happy birthday sung better. Beautiful memories.
Yeah, I believe that. If you've ever, or if you're anybody old school Northwest folks here back in the day, you kind of knew. I came to faith at Northwest Church, really an FCA event sponsored by Northwest that Mitch put on and then started attending there. And on any given Sunday when you showed up at Northwest, somebody from the Carricker family would be up there singing, and it was absolutely unbelievable. But with all the good, you guys dealt with some loss in the family. Loss of two siblings relatively early on. Tell us about that.
Well, my name is...
So death is a hard reality. My dad lost his sister when he was 20. He was 8 years old. And then he lost his brother who was 33. He was 24. He's had to face into that hard reality many times for most of his life.
I don't know whatever else you want to say. Did you feel a lot of pressure as a young man growing up in that family?
Oh, well, I knew that my brother and my sister, when I learned when my mom and dad were never mad at God.
Never mad at God.
Never. And that blew my mind, even as a young boy. And they know God.
Yeah. It's interesting, you know, when those of you who've gone through a situation where you've lost a loved one, a sibling, parent, it's excruciating. And yet to see a mom and a dad sort of hold fast. What did that teach you about God?
Well, they modeled.
They modeled. They modeled the behavior of following Christ.
Yeah, and let me just say this practically speaking. So I understand Rusty pretty well. And if you do as well, awesome. If there's ever anything like, what'd he say? Just throw a hand up real quick. That way these guys know to jump in. Just give us a little, like you're at an auction. Like, just give me a little flash. That's right. Now, somebody wake up Bill. We got to make sure Bill's paying attention. No, but that way, I think just to give you some reassurance, I think we hear you pretty well. So keep going. Whatever you're comfortable with. Let's ask this. So God has taken you on an incredible journey. I mean, we joke about the punter thing, but, you know, you had some time in an NFL locker room. You had some time, commercial real estate, you know.
I had the mind, baby.
So tell us a little bit about just what did you learn about God in your journey? So you've been all over the place, successful businessman. God brought you back to Fresno. All roads lead to Rome and Fresno, by the way, if you haven't figured that out.
Crazy. God's grace.
You know.
Yeah. So you experience God's grace.
Listen, I know what God's grace is.
Yeah.
I was a wild. I was not a good guy.
You were not a good guy?
No. I loved to drink.
Yeah.
I loved women. I was not who I should have been.
Yeah. So a lot of these guys have a similar story, right? Where you end up kind of going off the beaten path a little bit, living crazy, because you knew better. You grew up in a church.
I knew better.
Yeah.
I knew better. Holy cow, yeah.
Where was that moment for you where you kind of woke up a little bit and said, man, I don't want to live like that anymore? What was that about? What happened there?
That I've always had that. It wasn't a moment. That's a hard one to answer. I think that as you start having in, you realize, man, I have a responsibility beyond me. And God never left me, no matter what. Yeah. God never left me. And he's still needing me today.
Yeah, one point theologically that I think is important. So God never left you.
Never.
Even when you were living stupid.
Right.
Even when you knew better, and yet you're still going for God never left you. I think it's important for us to realize what is true about God. So we tend to think somehow that God loves me when I behave well, and when I don't behave well, God doesn't love me. He's disappointed with me. So God's with me when I'm doing right, but God's not with me when I'm doing wrong. That is a false assumption of God, typically based, by the way, on your relationship with your dad. So if your dad was proud of you when you did well, or if he was disappointed in you when you didn't do well, we tend to project that onto God. God does not operate like your human father, your earthly father does. God loves you unconditionally. Now, God has a plan for your life that is better than feeding the pigs, right? So God wants you to walk with him. But even when you're out there living crazy, scripture says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. Which means if you have trusted in Jesus Christ, you are gonna ride and die with Jesus in your life, good and bad. And that's the beauty of the promise we have. And so you experience that. So you start having kids. And you realize, man, I can't keep living like this. I know better. So the Lord's kind of bringing you back to your roots.
Yeah, and I'm in the right moment. I'm not being no much no moment. And
let me ask you that. So you got your three sons up here, and I know you got a beautiful daughter, Katie, as well.
Yeah.
What has it been like raising boys? And I say boys, we got three men up here look like they could hurt all of us, but you know, what was it like raising young men?
Well, it was no man. Man, I had a man, and look at him.
The mistakes you've made, yeah.
When not enough balance.
Not enough balance.
When you're not a man, more and what more and whatever, there was no man.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we went.
We think our kids are good enough to get a D1 scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
Is that for me or is that for you? And yeah. A lot of dads mess that up.
Yeah, their identity is kind of found in their kids. Yeah. Yeah. Identity becomes about the dad, not about the kid. You're projecting your worth into the success of your child. Can any of you relate to that, by the way? I think that's just Rusty, right? Or is that, no. That's real. Let me ask this regarding that. So three sons, different young men, different personalities. I mean, the Proverbs tell us to train up a child in the way they should go, for when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Yeah, 22:6, the way they should go, which means every child is unique. How was it raising different kids? What was the good part? What was hard?
I wanted to be like me.
And thankfully that maybe they're more like your wife, right?
Yeah, man, the Lord, man. Brett, he's a lot like me. He's wild and my nanny and my. When we had my mirror on his name, he wanted to grow up.
Yes. Yeah.
And you're nervous. Men, you're not his mom. No, they never.
Soft.
Yeah, I don't think that was the word he was looking for, but I like it. I like it.
He married nanny, and that, and the nominated a mom and me, and the man now, and really the money is my daughter, nanny.
My daughter, Katie.
And the super mom.
Is the super what?
Superstar of all of them.
Superstar of all.
You heard what he said. You just didn't want to say it.
No, I mean, she really is.
She is.
Amazing.
She is. Let's, speaking of amazing.
I want to say, understand, there is about a million of men. In that pandemic.
Yeah, the definition we talked about some months ago here of the definition of a man as to one who rejects passivity, accepts responsibility, and leads courageously. That is a great summary. How many of you have boys at home that you're raising? Okay. Fellas, I'll tell you, one of the greatest gifts you can give to your son is manhood, because nobody else can give it. They're not going to learn it at school. They're not going to learn it at church, at least not like they're going to learn it from you. And so I would encourage you, invest in your boys. Let's talk about that. What were some things that you did? And maybe let's do this. Let me let you take a breath here. Let me ask these guys. as a young man growing up in Rusty's house under his, parenting and supervision, what were some of the things that you remember as a young boy and now a young man that he did to pour into manhood in you?
Smoked us.
Yeah? Like playing basketball or something like that?
Discipline-wise, yeah. I would say we always knew the just elements of respect and mannerisms. Shake someone's hand, look them in the eyes, please and thank yous. You know, just the basics of being respectful and of being a man. And if you didn't, it was up to his room.
Yeah, so he wasn't playing around.
No.
Yeah.
God was always first. Always. Whether it was birthdays or the holidays especially, it was, let's stop, remember what God has done for us, and then we can move on to all the fun stuff. But that was what I remember, was always first, let's remember what God has done for us, and then we can move on from there.
Yeah, I remember waking up to speakers like we have up here on stage on Saturday or Sunday morning, music blaring, and him getting us up saying, okay, it's time to do some work around the house. But it was fun. There was always some injection of fun into the moment, and kind of to echo what Mitch said, never getting caught up too much in the moment, but an ability to bring it back and get everyone hyper-focused on this is what it's about. This is what God's doing. This is where God is in this moment, and really make, not just kind of saying it in passing, but say, hey, everybody slow down, and going in depth with different moments and acknowledging where God's at and where, you know, he thinks God's going to take us with this, whatever moment it was. So again, to echo what Mitch said, bringing it back to God first, and always that injection of fun. I definitely went up to my dad's room a few times, as Brett had said, but it was always rooted out of love. You felt that love because he was scared for you, or he wanted better for you. The room was pretty dang scary, I'll tell you that, but you never questioned the love.
I didn't want to add one thing about that. I was a nickname-er. I was a commander.
You were a manager?
Commander. What are the six states you're talking about?
Commander.
Commander,
coach.
Counselor.
Counselor.
Consultant.
So ages what? 0 to 6, you're a commander. Don't touch that. Don't do this. Stop beating up on your older brothers. Yeah.
Nicely done.
7 to 12, you're a coach. Here's how you do this. Here's how you make a layup. Here's how you read your Bible. 13 to 17, you're a counselor. Help them navigate through middle school, high school. Different stages of that.
Yeah, and then 18.
18 plus consultant, yeah.
I'm available if you need me. I'm not going to tell you.
I'm not going to tell you what you have to do. I'm here when you need me.
Yeah. Hey, Kim, that's gold right there. So for you fellas who are raising kids, I would write that down. And for you single guys who aren't raising kids yet, write that down, because you may not need it today, but you will need it. And that is exactly right. For those of you who've raised older kids, I've got a 19 and a 16-year-old, and I can see my relationship with my girls changing. The roles change. That's exactly right. So, you know, if you're trying to be a counselor to a toddler, that's not going to work. You know, at the same time, when they get older, if you're still trying to be a commander, they're going to cut you off and run to the hills because they're grown up beyond that. So that's really good.
I learned that the transitions are harder for the parents.
Yeah.
And they are the kids.
Did you guys hear that? The transitions are harder for the parents than they are the kids. Kids are ready. They're like, what's next? Move me on. But the parents sometimes still consider the little boy or little girl and the little toddler, even though they're driving away to college.
And I'm a commander too long.
You were a manager too long?
Commander.
Commander too long. Yeah.
And that hurt our family.
Why do you think that was? Why were you a commander too long?
my dad taught me that. I'm not blaming him. That's what he modeled for me.
Yeah.
And no, that's the way I knew how to do it. Not at all. And my wife, not me. You're not helping them.
Yeah, I want to swing back around here in just a minute to your sweet wife, but let's talk about the dad thing for a little bit.
And my name, human name,
yeah, shepherd the heart.
Shape their heart.
Shape their heart. Shape their heart. That's what your wife would say.
Don't lean out of mirror.
Yeah.
Mirror won't win.
Do you hear that? Don't lead out of fear. Fear won't win. That's good. I want to talk just a second about the dad thing, though. Look, we all have earthly fathers, right? And there's a lot of good there, and there's some negative there. So without you know, running our fathers, you know, under the bus or whatever else, I think it would be denial for us to not recognize that we're shaped by them. And some of that, again, is good. We pick up their good things. Some of that can be bad. And if we're not honest enough to look at our own junk and go, hey, maybe I got that from my dad, and maybe that wasn't healthy. Because your dad, even if he was amazing, was a sinner in need of a savior, and there were probably times where he, you know, in the flesh, acted out, did something, etc. And if we're not now, as grown men, in the name of Jesus, filtering, okay, what was really godly from Pops? What was ungodly? And then how do I process that? Because I'm going to pass on to my kids something. You teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. And so what would it look like for us to embrace that? I encourage you fellows with that, especially those of you who had bad fathers, to understand that you are not defined by your dad. You are defined by the work of Christ in your life. You're shaped by your dad, but not defined by him. And there's a huge difference there, which means you don't have to be a victim to who dad was and what dad did, or maybe dad being gone. Does that make sense? You get a chance by the grace of God to reset the narrative and be whoever God wants you to be apart from the definition of your dad.
Absolutely. Hammer and well then. Your earthly father did the best they knew how.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Hebrews 12:10, your earthly father's disciplined as seems best to them, it says. Yeah.
Best they knew how.
Yeah. So let's swing back around to your sweet wife.
Oh, man.
So,
wow.
Full disclosure, I'm a huge Cindy Carriker fan. Rusty, we hired Rusty to work on our staff for a season before his cancer hit. And shortly after hired Cindy. And so we tell Rusty jokingly, the best thing about hiring you is we got her. And she's amazing. So I'm a huge fan. But she has been a real angel in your life. Tell us a little bit about what that has been like, growing with her through the years, some of the early days before the kids started coming, and then now kids. And she's been kind of that voice of steady reason in your life. Because those of you who know Rusty, he's all passion, no polish, right? And I think that's why I like him, because I know a guy like that as well. And she's been sort of that steady figure in your life. Tell us about that.
Well, unbelievable. We were married in 83.
Married in 83?
Yeah. And the morning that we had 1,000 people at our wedding.
You had 1,000 people at your wedding?
Yeah. Man, the Lord.
Small get together.
Man, the Lord and Mike, the church. Her marriage was like, how many?
Yeah.
Anyway, she's always been a very daddy influence. She's always been a very daddy influence.
She's always been a very steady influence.
Always.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when we got married, we moved right away to the Bay Area.
When they got married in 83, they moved to the Bay Area.
Really? That.
We got married in 83, and a week later, we moved to the Bay Area, as I had recently signed with the 49ers, and Cindy got a real job as a software engineer.
A real job.
That's right.
And I'm watching her for 38 years.
I've watched her for 38 years carry the load.
A family.
A family.
A managing.
Of managing.
Me. Not in the, not a rodeo. And I respect her because she's a lady.
I respect her because she's a lady.
Like we don't know them anymore. Mm-hmm. We don't have a lot of women who are ladies.
We don't have a lot of women who are ladies anymore.
In first class.
First class.
All the way.
All the way.
And everything.
Yeah.
And I respect her.
Yeah. That Proverbs 31 woman says that it, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she would be
that,
praised.
That is her.
Yeah. She's brought you good and not harm all the days of your life.
Amen.
Yeah.
And she's been the best partner for me.
Yeah.
In the areas that I'm really weak. In the areas that I'm really weak.
In the areas that you're really weak.
She made me strong.
Yeah, she made you strong.
And vice versa.
Yeah, and vice versa. Are you guys the same or different?
Very different.
Yeah. I just wondered. I was curious because I look at my wife and I'm like, okay, why would you do that? That's totally opposite of what I would do.
Yeah.
And that's similar to you.
Oh, man.
And that's life. I mean, very seldom do you marry somebody just like you. And by the way, have you ever tried to change your wife?
Oh, yeah, every day.
Yeah. How's that go?
Really not well.
No. And so for you young guys, especially who've got married and thought, ah, you know what? She's got some strengths and some weaknesses, but I can fix that. No, you can't.
No,
you can't. You can pray about that, but here's what you're going to find. When you pray about God changing your wife, what God's going to do is change you. And one of the greatest gifts you can give to your marriage is draw a circle around yourself and just invite the Lord into that circle to change the mess out of everything inside that circle. Because 9 times out of 10, fellas, it's not her fault. It's probably our fault as men.
Hey, I want to say one thing to you men about your wives and your daughters. Make sure they marry a Christian.
Make sure they marry a believer.
Oh.
Why?
Well, man, number one, God tells them to do that. Number one.
Yeah, number one, God tells you to do that. I mean, so there's that.
My number two, we're in that.
Yeah.
Those new boys have beautiful, lovely, Christian women.
Yeah.
I want them. And they're blessed. Mm-hmm. And they're, am I right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about something we haven't mentioned yet. So you've
don't be mad at him on that with your boys.
Yeah. Lean into that a little bit before I move on. Don't be passive on that with the boys. So you're saying as a dad, reinforce that with the boys. Make sure and your daughters for that matter, make sure that they marry someone who knows the Lord.
Yeah, I mean I don't care how good they are.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how good looking they are. I mean, it's helpful, but not essential. Yeah, we say often around here, the only thing worse than being single wishing you were married is being married wishing you were single.
Oh, man.
And so marry well, marry well. All right, so let's swing back around. You've raised 3 boys, and God, by his grace, gave you a rose among the thorns. You have a beautiful daughter. Talk to us about the difference between parenting the boys and parenting Katie.
Well, the mistake I made with Katie.
The mistake you've made with Katie.
Well, now we're not going to raise up a princess.
You didn't want to raise a princess.
I didn't want to raise one that had everybody wrapped around her.
Yeah. Yeah. You hear that? Didn't want to raise a girl who had everyone wrapped around her finger. Yeah.
No way. Not me. So numb. I'm so stupid.
Yeah.
They need to be treated differently. They're different.
Yeah.
They're gentle. They're loving. Man, I know her this morning.
Yeah, you told her this morning?
I'm no ladder ringer. Well, I shortchanged her.
Because I shortchanged her.
Growing up. When I'm not the boy.
Wow. So you spent, what I hear you saying is you spent a lot of time doing the boy thing. Yeah. And she kind of got the scraps. Is that right?
Not only. And that my one Mandarin rat of marriage, I didn't deserve better. And I didn't ever do it.
What advice would you give to guys that are raising kids that still have a chance to maybe make some changes?
The one thing I'm going to tell you is your window is small.
Your window is small.
I mean, you can't believe it. When they're young, they don't understand. When they're old, they don't care.
That's interesting. When they're young, they don't understand. But when they get to a certain age, they don't care.
I'm out window in between.
Short window, yeah.
The man in blue.
Where they understand and still care.
Right.
Yeah.
And we'll learn.
That's gold.
And not more. They turn it off.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear what you're saying now.
Yeah. So if you could do it over again.
Oh, man. I'd listen to my wife.
Did you guys hear that? I'd listen to my wife, yes. I think I just heard her say amen from the back there.
No, amen. You're not mad at me. You're very wise.
Yeah. She has that little smile, though, and she's giving you that look like, I want to say something right now.
Oh, I know what you're thinking, but I don't want to hear it.
I know what she's thinking, but you don't want to hear it. That's right. That's right. All right, let me ask you this, my friend. So, you know, you've been battling this cancer thing for, what, 6 out of the last 10 years, it seems like, something like that. And you're a warrior, no question. And for those of you who know Rusty, he's a positive guy. He's half full. He's trusting God. He's always looking for the next thing. You know, there's no quit in this guy.
Well, nobody likes to help, and I was a downer.
Nobody likes to hang out with a guy who's a downer. That's true. That's true. So let me ask you this. How has cancer, your diagnosis, how has that changed your priorities?
I want to intervene in that one.
I have to manage the cancer constantly. I can't just say I'll get to that later. It kind of forces your hand. My main thing was communicating to Cindy and the kids about our family trust, where everything is, passwords, what to do when I die, etc., logistics. The goal is to focus on having quality time together, and that really is different for each kid.
I want you to know I'm going to run on the new nail.
Yeah.
And it's done.
Yeah. Have a trust. Get your financial house in order. Make sure she knows all the details. Look, I don't mean to like be a downer, but you all know we're all gonna die, right? I don't know if you knew that or not. But the question is when, and that's in the hands of the Lord. He has all of our days numbered, and so praise God. So Lord, teach us to number our days that we might present to you a heart of wisdom, which means we gotta get our stuff in order.
No. My minute and my minute.
5 minutes.
I had a meeting now on Monday.
Oh, you had a scan on Monday?
And 5 minutes before I went in.
5 minutes before I went in.
I found out.
I found out that a friend of mine had passed away.
A really good friend of mine. And then I died. He fell on my ladder when he was in the night. Now.
Wow.
Rodney.
Fell off a ladder putting Christmas lights up. So.
And died. I also found out that name, Armination. New one nine went nine, new one nine. New one three nine.
Two to three guys? Two of the three guys.
I found out totally three guys I went to high school. Had just died. Two unexpectedly.
Wow. Yeah, scripture tells us that we're, our life is like a mist, a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. So.
Yeah, I'm in the morning. I wonder when I lay there.
I laid in that tube, getting a scan, praying for those families. I guarantee you those guys weren't expecting to be in the obituaries. As my dad used to say, are you ready to do business with God?
Hey, did you hear that?
Are you ready to do business with God?
I know today you're ready to go to the office and handle your business. I know that. The question is, are you ready to have that meeting with God?
Yeah, so we're all ready to go to our offices today and do business, but are you ready to do business with God? Are you ready to meet the Lord?
Well, how about your money, your man?
Yeah, your buddy, your friend.
Are they ready?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, and it's, I mean, the evangelistic card is, look, there's no other name in heaven or on earth by which we can be saved but by the name of Jesus. God is real. Death is real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. And the reality is at some point we're all going to stand before God. So you can deny the existence of God all you want, like you can deny the existence of gravity all you want. It's as foolish to deny gravity as it is to deny God. Both are realities, and you have zero to say about it. That being said, we can trust in Jesus Christ so that there is no fear in death. For a believer to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So this world is not our home. So if you're focused on making hay in this world and not thinking about eternity, then you're missing the point. Yeah. So what advice, let me ask this. You've got some grandbabies as well. Talk to us about that. How has that been?
You didn't tell me, oh man. Being around my own, the man I know, that's wonderful. That's really great. And then I had one. Wow. Yeah. And unbelievable. And unbelievable. Yeah. No man to mine. But then, you know, how are my hands?
Yeah.
How are my kids going to lead their kids?
Right. And really, I want them to know.
Deuteronomy 6, yeah.
I want my.
Yeah. Oh. There we go.
Three things you want them to know?
Yeah.
Know God's story, Deuteronomy 6.
Know it. Know the story.
Remember our character, family, legacy, and invest in relationships.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Let's ask this question as we head towards a close. I know this is killing you for a number of reasons. One, being in the back room and not being able to work the room with the guys. Those of you who knew this guy when he was in his prime, like nobody was safe. You give this guy a microphone and he could be calling on any of you to share your story or whatever. So being in the back room is not your favorite. I know also you have a lot on your heart and mind you want to share, so being limited is hard. But what would you say to these guys? What charge or admonition would you give them? What would you want to, if you could say anything to these men who I know many of which you've got personal relationships with and love deeply, what would you want them to know?
How much I appreciate them.
How much you appreciate them?
I love them. Thank you. I want them. For loving me. I want to say that in you will be my friend and for needing me. Dad, I'm not my dad, but I am a better.
Amen. That you're thankful that you're not your dad. Yeah, take the good parts with you and leave the bad. Yeah.
And I'm bringing it on later. I love that.
I want to say thank you.
I'd like to publicly say thank you to Brad for his phenomenal leadership and Bible teaching, and also to Dan Kuntz. I'm in a Thursday morning Bible study led by Dan that has roughly 25 guys. That study was started over 40 years ago by Dennis Shaves in a Grubb & Ellis real estate office. Many men have benefited from that study over the years because someone invited them to show up. This next year, I'd ask that you consider whether or not you might know someone who would benefit from coming to this breakfast or maybe a Bible study you're in. If so, why not invite them?
Mm, that's good. And you had a couple of scriptures here that you would put down. You want me to read those?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so the first one, Psalm 90, verses 10 through 12. And so we've been texting back and forth, and I said, hey, what admonition, what charge? And these two passages came out. It says in Psalm 90, 10 through 12, 70 years are given to us. Some even live 80. But even if the best years are filled with pain and trouble, soon they disappear and we fly away. Who can comprehend the power of your anger? Your wrath is awesome as the fear you deserve. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. The other was Proverbs 3, 5 through 7, which maybe many of you know. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom.
Don't be impressed with your own damn wisdom. I love that.
That's really good. Mine doesn't say dang, though. That's kind of weird. I don't know.
That's verse 21.
That's the character translation. It says, instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil.
Yeah.
Well, let me close our time by saying this. You've said a lot of kind things to many of us, but I think the elephant...
Not behind your back.
Not behind our back, that's right. I think the elephant in the room, especially to those who've done life with you, is we just want to say thank you to you. You are an inspiration to all of us, not just in cancer and the fighting of the cancer, but just in life. Your little nuggets of wisdom that God has placed in your heart, those things that the Lord has taught you, that you've taught your sons and your daughter, that you've also passed on to us, your courage, your passion. And for me especially, watching you battle this cancer, there's just no quit in you, and I respect that about you. And yet, I know that you have done your business with God. And when it's time for you to go home, I know you'll go home, and you'll go home with great peace. Say again? Yeah. Will I read that? Sure.
I didn't want you to hear where I am.
Do you have it in your notes? You want me to look it up?
5:7.
1 Peter 5:7.
No. 5:1.
Yeah. I'm having like some shakes over here. I hear Buford right here. Okay, I'll read verse one. 1 Peter 5:1 says, therefore I exhort the elders among you.
Yeah.
As your fellow elder and witness of the suffering of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising the oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples among the flock. We're called to take care of one another.
Not just
right.
All of us.
Right. Yeah. So as we wrap up 2021, my hope with our men's breakfast this morning was to bring a gem of a guy up here who's in the fight of his life and is fighting for his life, and to let you hear from him and to hear from his sons and to have his wife and sweet daughter come and be a part of this as well, to just remember This is what it means to do life in faithfulness to God when things are good. And this is what it looks like to do life in faithfulness to God with cancer. Is God still good even though Rusty has cancer? 100% yes.
Yeah. I'm not none.
No.
Not my farewell tour.
No. This is not a farewell tour.
I'm not none.
No, of course not.
I'll name it whatever you want to name.
And yet, you're faced with a reality that most of us live in denial of, and that's the point. That here you are living it out.
Yeah.
So, appreciate you being a part of our men's breakfast. Rusty, appreciate you sharing your wisdom. And gentlemen, thank you for helping us. Well, let me close this in a word of prayer, and then we'll get out of here. And I will say this before I close. Rusty is immunosuppressed and needs to stay healthy. He would love to work the room, shake every hand, and hug every single guy in here. But he will not be able to shake anyone's hand or hug anyone per doctor's orders, which is his wife. And so there will be no hugging today. And so we are going to sequester him back out of the room, as you can see, for obvious reasons. Sound good? But if you know Rusty, text him and whatnot. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for what it looks like to do life in relationship with you. Just so grateful for Rusty. Just love this guy so much. So grateful for his life and what he's doing and his inspiration even today. Thanks for the words he's had for these men. There are nuggets that are there that are so good. I pray that those would resonate in our hearts. If there's anything we need to hear from this morning, that we would take it to heart and put it into practice. So grateful for his sons and his daughter. Grateful for the grandbabies you've blessed him with. Just pray for your continued hand to be upon him. And we are crazy enough to believe that you are a God who can continue to heal and do incredible miracles. So we just ask for the miraculous. We ask that you would surprise us. And in the midst of doing life, I just ask today that we would just enjoy every moment that you give us, for we are not promised another. And so we'll thank you for your grace and your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Thanks for coming out.
Thanks again for joining the Well Community Church podcast. Be sure to check out thewellcommunity.org or our app, The Well Fresno, for more information on us, ways to connect, service times, and locations.